I wanna be a billionaire, so freaking bad. Buy all of the things I never had. I wanna be on the cover of.
See, Bruno, the fun thing is, you don't have to be a billionaire. You could be, you know, just a millionaire or something like that. Most of the stuff you need, you don't really need that much to do it. But the problem is, those things get more expensive.
Yeah, that's my. I remember when that song came out. I had to have been in like middle school or early high school, and like everybody sang it. And like looking back now, I don't need to be a billionaire. Like,
There's a lot of stuff you got to do to be a billionaire.
Just to think of all the people you got to screw over in the system to become a billionaire. Like,
but also remember that most billionaires didn't start off as.
No.
Us.
No. Jeff Bezos. I believe it's $100,000, maybe a $200,000 loan from his folks to start Amazon.
Again, I don't fault the guy for good.
You
made something with it.
Congratulations.
And you clearly did something.
Yes.
Good.
You built this.
I
great
use Amazon
company.
Too.
Yes, yes. You got to use Amazon almost. If you're doing online shopping, like online shopping is going through Amazon, and it's like, fine, I don't have a problem with the fact that that Jeff Bezos built that company. I have a problem with the fact that the system is designed to be able for these people, once they get to that top tier echelon, to skirt the system. And really, like we talked about yesterday, Americans are getting a raw end of the deal. And so we need individuals.
And most of those people are his employees.
Yeah. Oh, his employees especially are getting a raw end of that deal.
Yeah.
And
literally sometimes.
Right.
Cornstarch, yes, man. Yes. It really helps.
I never would imagine having to carry a water bottle around specifically for that purpose either. Like,
yeah,
no, I can't. I can't fathom that in my workday.
I've had several jobs in my life where I had to have use cornstarch or, you know, talc powder just to make sure I was able to walk through the day.
Yeah.
Let's say that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just so what we need is we need individuals that are going to at least try to work with this system and make it better and more effective for the individuals that need it, the help the most. And so that kind of jumps into our next topic, Brian, for here on Dueling Tangents today. You want to dive on into the headlines?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. So we're going to jump into the headlines. So we got some camp. It was the end of the quarter earlier at the end of last month, beginning of this month. And so all of the campaign finance reports are coming out for candidates running for office for 2022. And so
to hear the narrative that we usually get, whoever raises the most money is clearly going to win, right?
Right. It's this far out. It's still really it can be anyone's game, but
it's literally the only measuring stick anybody
right.
has.
It's the only horse race. Like, nobody's
besides
doing any
polls.
Polling. Nobody's voting. Nobody's doing any of that yet. So it's like campaign dollars are kind of a pretty good indicator for who everybody else thinks is winning at the time. And so one of the first stories that came out this week is State Treasurer and Democratic U.S. Senate candidate Sarah Godlewski dropped $1 million of her own money into her campaign and hired three key staffers in a campaign reshuffle after this last filing deadline.
So, okay.
And I shared the quote with you, Brian. In the piece, I'm reading from the Journal Sentinel. Let me see the reporter. We got Bill Glauber over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, wrote up this piece earlier this week. And in the piece, Godlewski is quoted as that she's putting her money where her mouth is. And I shared that quote with you, Brian, and you kind of, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, good for you for being able to put $1 million in your own campaign. That's awesome. But if you remember her campaign for treasurer, she made people care about the state treasurer's office in the first place. That's amazing.
Right.
How did she do it? She gave amazing speeches. Wisco Paul will call and tell you how amazing Sarah Godlewski is to this day because he saw her speak at several different events. But that's also during large campaign season where there's speaking events everywhere and, oh, wait, there's no pandemic. So there's gatherings and there's people are getting together. So people came to see her speak, and she's an amazing orator. She's great. You can't not like her afterwards unless you're really trying to hate her. She's just got a gift for that. Every time I've heard her speak, and I just hear everybody afterwards going, oh, my goodness, that's Sarah. Oh, geez, she's powerful. And a lot of them couldn't even tell you what she was really into, but they knew they liked her, you know. And now, I haven't seen her talk.
I haven't seen her talk either.
She's come on the Devil Show a couple times. She's great when she's on the interviews. But other than that, where is she?
Yes. I think, well, and that's one of the hard parts right now with this campaign season, that everybody jumped in the pool, and now it feels like, what's happening?
What are you guys doing?
What's going on? Okay, you're putting in $1 million to your campaign. What are you doing with that? I recall when candidate Tom Nelson announced his full Nelson campaign, going to all 72 counties. That's great, getting out there and talking to these people, but I didn't hear anything of it after that. And so it's I heard the announcement, and then
going place to place, that's also how Evers and Mandela Barnes won too. They went and pulled votes in the north areas, and that's how a lot of people do that. You have to go into the places. But I haven't heard anything about it. You need air support. You know, and nobody's this race hasn't garnered much air support.
It hasn't. I feel like it gathered a lot of buzz all at once. And now, well, unfortunately, there's not a huge lefty infrastructure in this state. There's us and there's nobody else.
Yeah.
It's us against...
Well, at least for radio.
For
messaging.
Yes.
Just general messaging. They have it on a national level, but they don't have it on the state level.
Right. And so I just feel like... I just don't know why I'm not hearing more stories about what's going on in these campaign events and on the campaign trail, because I feel like everybody made a big deal about jumping in, and everybody, is it the fact that U.S. Senator Ron Johnson hasn't announced his decision yet? Like, what do you think is really going on with why are we seeing a delay or just not seeing the campaign events that we saw in the run-up of previous elections? A lot of places are vaccinated. We're seeing... places in Madison and Milwaukee, like, you can still hold campaign events.
Well, that's the problem with politicizing stuff when you're so against the public gathering and you're completely, you know, super safe and everything. When you have a public gathering that you organized, it looks bad. So it's hard to do that.
I don't know. People are going out, Brian. I don't know.
I'm not telling you. I'm not telling you that. I'm just telling you that that's how it looks and that's how it will be attacked.
All right. Well, the other headline of the day is one of the other campaigns outside of Godlewski's campaign was in the news this week as well. Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, also running for the U.S. Senate and the Democratic primary, announced this morning his fundraising totals and... Barnes raised $1.12 million within the first quarter of him announcing. So he announced in early July, which was right at the beginning of this last quarter, and raised about $1.12 million.
Great.
Again, yes. So these guys have money that they're sitting on. And I'm just curious, Brian, besides the horse race and the talking heads calculating these numbers and seeing, oh, who's winning, who's more viable, of this stuff.
All the polling basically says that Barnes is the front runner, mostly because of name recognition.
And didn't Barnes release that poll himself? That was an internal poll.
Yeah, understandable. My point is that if the race were right now, Barnes would win because people don't know anybody else. You know, so my thing is Alex Lazary just put a bunch of money into his campaign. I'm hoping to hear a bunch more, because you need to boost your name recognition. If you can't boost your name recognition in the next couple months, I don't know what you're doing. You have to do something special or crazy otherwise. You know, I like Tom Nelson a lot. I think it'd be amazing. I think his 72 county thing is a really good idea. That's basically that's his path to win, to go and, you know, get everybody... meet every single Wisconsinite, person by person.
Just shake them all. Shake every voter's hand.
He's one of those guys.
That's the thing. I don't dislike any of the candidates, really.
Neither do I.
I like them all, but if you're telling me that we've got a pool of 10 candidates running, and they're all raising money, but they're not doing anything. They're just sitting on these. What is it all for? How are you going to differentiate yourself from the other 11 candidates that are in this race without going out and doing the events? And
most people couldn't, even dialed in people, most people couldn't name past three or four people.
Right. And that's just that. It's frustrating.
And in that case, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Just raising money.
Yeah.
And you'd wonder why people have a cynical look at politics. It's constantly raising money, and whether there's action or not, they still have to raise more money. They always need more money.
There's always an email in the inbox, always asking for more money.
Every single time. I can't scroll without having a, hey, I'm Mandela Barnes. Can I? I really need you to help me beat Ron Johnson.
Yeah.
And I get it. That's the game. That's what you got to do. I hate it. It's... ugh.
Yeah.
But it's another way for people to make money on the side, too. Right. Let's go to the phones.
Yeah, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That's Brian. You can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. Up next, we're going to Joe from Tucson. Or are you calling from Stevens Point? Where are you at today, Joe?
I am calling from Tucson, fellas. What a show, man. I love how you guys spin the dial. Although I was standing on a ladder, Brian, when you broke into the listen to William Shatner, and I went into that thought, and I almost fell off my ladder because it was like, it's so super cringe. I just...
Oh, my.
People have to see it.
So scary.
Yes. But you know what? I think you guys have got your fingers on it. But I think that, like, with this, you know, there's so much money being raised, but there's such a weak ground game. We don't even see it. We don't even have organization happening. We don't. There is no conversation. If we're trying, and by the way, we're starting to get hit hard by bad numbers with independent swing voters, and Black American males are really turned off by Joe Biden falling down on the job. But you know, if we were to get out and to acknowledge this and build the buzz and start, you know, like political. Atrophy looks like the abandoned country Democrat. We've almost got a 70% vaccination rate. And I know this is going crazy, but I guarantee you, Joe Biden could win 70% of this just with that wicked song and dance kabuki theater of, are you going to get the shot? Are you going to be magnetized? We had the stupidest conversation for so long. But if 70% of them, I'll guarantee you, Joe Biden could go get those votes. Because
Joe,
those are people who are ready to wear that badge.
Joe, but, 70% threshold was the goal back in the 4th of July. We're past 70% getting their first dose. We're almost to 80% getting their first dose, which means we've almost got 4 out of 5 Americans receiving at least some type of protection from COVID-19. So... there's a lot of hubbub around the mandates and the forcing and all of this, and your hands off my body, you can't make me take that shot. But we're slowly approaching the numbers that we're going to need to be able to get out of this pandemic, and I think the mandates are working.
Absolutely, and you know what? All their models totally collapse. Nobody feels safe in the business-to-business transaction of if you've got to listen to a Trump sermon about freedom and wearing a diaper on your face, according to them. It's just false equivalences. They don't belong. If you're a capitalist, you want to make money. You want to make a safe engagement in that process. They're not doing it. Joe Biden, we should be smoking them, but we are getting our whole psychology is being framed by Republican daddy.
Yeah, we're reactionary rather than actionary. What I want to see is something like, I like Ben Wickler. I think he's great. I want him to have a giant dog and pony show with all the candidates and go on tour, or have a big event, have a big fundraiser event, and have a debate, have everybody talk.
Right. We need something that is going to be able to just stimulate this campaign cycle and get it going, because outside of the raising dollars, I'm not hearing a whole lot from any of these candidates, and it's really upsetting.
You've got great candidates. Show them off, because if somebody doesn't win here, they can win somewhere else. And if people know who they are from this campaign, they can use that for other campaigns. Do it. Showcase your people.
We'll be right back. We're Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. One more segment of the show.
I wanna be a billionaire. So freaking bad.